Me,
Steven
like,
Jackson, good to see you, sir. Thanks for dropping by.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Yeah. Nice to see you last night at the game. That was a hell of a basketball game.
It was
to
a
see
great game, man. Sorry for Michigan, but, man, it was a good game.
That was all you can ask for in that kind of a scenario is kids playing at the top of their game, you know, back and forth.
Not overcome by the moment. Think about how young they are, and they weren't overcome by the moment.
Not at all. I mean, that kid off the bench dropped 17 first half. Like,
we just talked to
unbelievable.
Him. We just talked to him in his hotel room. Yeah. He's never scored more than 7 in a game. He's averages 1.2. And we asked him, like, what were you thinking? He just said, you know what? It felt good. And I just said, let me get after
he
this.
He said Trey Burke, when he went out of the game, told him, be aggressive. Shoot if you have the shot. Boy, he did that.
He did. Absolutely did. He had something to build off of. And Michigan looked good, but the victors are Louisville.
Yeah, no doubt. So you were here for the press conference, right?
I was.
And spent a day or two, or how long were you here when you were here before?
Simply a day.
Yeah, you flew in, right?
I flew in from the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And then you're back in St. Louis, Vegas at all?
Vegas. I had a chance to do both cities.
Yep.
It was spring break for my children, so we went back to Las Vegas, spent some time with Grandma and Grandpa.
Yep.
And now it's time to find a house, condo, something.
So, you looking for a realtor?
No,
let me give you a few cards.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, he's got a business.
That was the wrong
the
thing
side.
To say just now.
You know who you are? Yeah, you got a big bullseye on you. Right. Steven Jackson looking for a condo.
I know you've been asked this before, but growing up in Las Vegas, does the whole scene get old after a while? Is it like anything else?
You know what? It gets old for me, but for some reason, my friends, every year it does not. So I'm hosting someone every weekend.
You're like Julian McCoy. People just keep coming and they want to be entertained by you.
Yeah, everyone wants to be entertained. Yeah. Same thing, same scenario. They have their favorite nightclubs, favorite restaurants, favorite breakfast spot, and they want me to join them.
Yeah. But you're not a gambler. I asked you that last night.
I do not gamble at all, no.
Never have.
Never have. My mom was a 21 dealer for 25 years. My dad was a casino manager, for 34 years.
Wow.
So between the two of them, I know a lot of stories about the casino business.
What gambling can do to you.
And how it's stacked. They did a good job of deterring me from it.
Which way the money flows, as they like
I was
like
going to say, how it's stacked.
Get on the house, baby.
Right.
So that's why those buildings are there.
Where was your mom a 21 dealer?
Las Vegas Hilton.
Yeah.
And my dad was Caesar Palace.
Okay. I lost a lot of money to both of them over the years. I think they owe me like $10,000.
I don't think it works that way. Steven Jackson joins us. We had a quick conversation last night, you and I. There's a really good chance you will be on national TV more this year than you've been in your entire career this side of your rookie year. I know there's an excitement that must come with that. I've said it for 2 or 3 years in the show. You're the best kept secret in a league that there really are no secrets.
Yeah, I mean, hard to believe. Last night I had a chance to meet a lot of new fans, a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans that simply don't know my history. And it's kind of funny when you think about that. I mean,
how many Pro Bowls?
Just haven't had a chance to see me play. Three Pro Bowls.
10,000 yards?
10,000 yards.
Over 3,000.
Consecutive.
Over 3,000 yards receiving as well. And we were just talking about that before you came in. I think that's the biggest secret. Fans are going to really see that with this Dirk Cutter offense, your ability to catch the ball out of the backfield.
And that's the battle that I fight that, you know, off of first appearance, a lot of people just think I'm naturally a bruiser. And I bring so much more to the table than that. I can be a bull when I need to be, but I actually prefer not to. I like to show my diversity. I like to show that my abilities on the field. I mean, I work hard at it. I work hard at my craft.
You said something at the press conference that I found really interesting, and you have Falcons fans in your family, and you were watching a game in Atlanta. You believe, and this is not a knock on anybody who's been on the roster, you believe if you were on this team, that team's going to the Super Bowl.
Well, I give the 49ers challenges, and I think right now they're gearing up to win a championship, and we are too.
But this past year, if you were on this roster in that game, do you think—
I don't play defense, but I run the hell out the ball.
But again, you played well. Your team played well. You had the tie and the victory over the Niners this year. What makes it a matchup that favors
you?
So
when you play the San Francisco 49ers, they're a bully. They want to hit you. They want to intimidate you. Patrick Willis and that defensive company, they study football. They know the game, and they know what you cannot do, and they're going to exploit it. So when you fight a team like that, and when you play a team like that, I say fight because as a Ram, we went into that game thinking it was a heavyweight bout. When we went into that game, we knew that we're going to have to run the ball. We're going to chew up the clock. And between the two of our offense, they both like to run the ball. Whoever has the ball last is going to win the game.
So they definitely could have used you, the Falcons, in the second half because they had no running game to speak of in that NFC Championship.
And Michael Turner was injured.
Sprained his
and
ankle.
You're being respectful, but we've said.
I had a chance to be in a Pro Bowl with Michael Turner at one point. So evidently he had a lot of talent, and he has a lot of talent. Now, what happened? I wasn't on this team. I wasn't a part of the offense. I don't know what happened, but I know what I bring to the table. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but just like you go back to what you said, yeah. A lot of people have not seen me play. And at the age of 29, I'll be 30 next year. I don't believe age dictates what a person can do.
You're in a league where you're at the magic number that the ones who want to be naysayers will say. Falcons just got an old running back. Falcons just dumped an old running back for another old running back. This guy's got 10,000 yards on him. This guy has got a lot of miles on him. And everybody knows the formula in the NFL. And the formula is older backs are not going to be able to bring to the table what younger, fresher legs. What do you say to those folks?
Most people that say that want to be 30, they wish they were 30 again. You don't hear a whole lot of 22-year-olds saying that.
Yep.
So for the naysayers, the safe bettors, the people that are in bed with the front office and trying to dictate the curve of how the NFL should spend their money,
right,
and how they should carve their roster, that's who we're talking to. I don't even pay them any attention because I know the business side of the game and I know the playing side of the game. And this is what I would say to Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
This is what I would say to them. You will not get anybody on the market in the draft and free agency that is more hungry than I am, has more to prove than I do, and want to go out on top.
This is the conversation we had before you got here and after that press conference. If you're a guy with 10,000 yards saying that I have more to prove than anybody maybe in the league right now because the spotlight is going to be on you, you got a win going in. I mean, that's a win going
well,
in for a lot of Falcons
I can tell
fans
you,
here.
And this is something we talked about. What you just said, people want to they love it, they want to believe it, and they feel like this is a great time to be a Falcon fan because San Francisco's loading up, and the Falcons said, okay, here's what we got. We're going to re-sign Tony, and we're going to get Steven Jackson, who if anybody watched him last few years, Steven Jackson's a beast, and he's only going to be better with Matt Ryan and Jacques Quiz around him and the receivers. We're going to go get Osio Mignura, maybe get John Abraham back, got a ton of draft picks. And bring it on, San Francisco. Bring it on, Seattle. Because we've got just as many, if more, weapons than anybody. That's what Falcon fans are believing. You're feeling it just walking around for 2 days.
I do feel it. Let's be frank. I didn't come here to go to the playoffs. You guys done that consecutively for some years now. I'm here to help be a part of a puzzle, be a part of something that you guys have built over the years. I'm just a hope and a dream. But we just frankly have the same hope and dream.
When you look at the roster, you talk about how New Orleans won, how Green Bay won. Baltimore maybe a little less conventional, but loading up with weapons. Take me through the offensive pieces, how you see it in terms of weapons and why you guys can be special.
Simply, if you want to double team anyone, you're exposing yourself to a lot of other weapons. You have the two great receivers. I think we have the best two combo receivers you can get right now. We have Tony that definitely knows how to get open, use his body, his veteran tricks and his ability. He's a Hall of Famer. And then the leadership of Matt. I mean, from what I've seen on the outside looking in, I have not been in a huddle with him yet. He has great control over the game. He doesn't get nerved. He doesn't get flustered, it seems to be, and he seems to disperse the ball pretty well. So, when you have that combination of talent, leadership, and a lot of things can happen in your favor.
Do you know the other thing that happens? Do we have to take a quick break?
Yeah.
Are we okay for a second?
Go ahead, ask him one more question.
Well, the other thing that I think you do is now the entirety of the playbook is now open. The ability to say we're going to maybe dump it out of the backfield to a back, whether it's a decoy-type play. Every play that Dirk Cutter can draw up on a napkin is now possible to run.
And so my goal is to be a back that's 10,000 yards rushing, 5,000 yards receiving. I still have the latter part to do, and I take great pride in it. When you come into the NFL and you back up Marshall Faulk, you realize what it means to be a franchise running back.
And you talked about what you learned from Marshall Faulk, some of the good and some of the not-so-good. We'll continue to talk about that and more with Steven Jackson. Falcons running back here in studio with us. It's Mayhem in the AM, 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
I like what you said. You feel like since you've been in Atlanta, It reminds you of being in St. Louis with the Cardinals. Now, you didn't say St. Louis with the Rams, right?
I did.
You
I
said
did.
It feels like St. Louis with the Cardinals. What did you mean by that?
Well, St. Louis is a baseball town. So when the Cardinals are doing good, when the Cardinals are out, that's everyone talks about. That's what everyone's stopping and doing. That's what everyone's watching, their focal point. As soon as I step off the plane, it's rise up. It's welcome to Atlanta. It's a completely different feel in this town, and it's all about the Falcons. I'm happy to be a part of it.
Do you know, though, that this fall, because the way the Braves have come out of the gate and with the excitement about this Braves team, this could really be that dual fall that we've talked about. At times it's happened with Georgia and the Atlanta Falcons, but maybe throw the Braves into the mix this year, and this city could actually be sort of on its ear, which would be a great thing because we've all been waiting for those moments.
What did the other players around the league say about Atlanta? Like when you're deciding, who are the people, when you make a life decision that affects your family and affects your future, who do you turn to and what did you learn about Atlanta? What was said about it?
So my circle is very tight. It's my father, it's my sister Rhonda, and it's my agent, Eugene Parker. We talk about the possibilities. We definitely have possibilities outside of Atlanta to go and play in
a colder place. Was that one of the places? Was that one of them though?
A couple of them were
colder. A team that wears green and gold.
A couple of them were colder.
Jenner,
but it wasn't only about financially. It's about it's about how do I want to round off my career? Because I even had teams that would necessarily be in the running for a Super Bowl.
You eliminate them quickly?
You don't eliminate them quickly because I have to provide for a life that's I hope to live a long life. But when I really sat down and thought about it, I'm young, I'm healthy. I want to win a Super Bowl. I will be a mentor if Mr. Blank, if Coach Smitty said this is a guy that we see a lot of potential in, he just needs some guidance. I'll be the first one to stand up and sign up for that job. But when you think about the NFL and lasting memories, when you go to Canton and when you go see those buses and you read about those guys, it's like my ambition, what I want to do, I want to be a part of that special group because there's no criteria to be in the Hall of Fame. It's just sports writers and journalists like yourself that know a lot about the game and they kind of determine who's worthy or not to be a part
You're
of.
You're behind the
group.
Eight ball though, because you haven't really had those January moments that a lot of those guys do have. And let's be honest, it's easier to get into the Hall of Fame when you actually have a January showcase.
I think that's what made my story so special. I think that's why a lot of guys listen to me. I have the resume that speaks for itself, but at the same time, I'm still hungry like I'm walking into my first training camp.
So you were a mentor to some of the younger backs when you were with the Rams, but that wasn't necessarily the case when you first came in and Marshall Faulk was there.
Well, sometimes in life, you can be a little brash, and I came into St. Louis a little brash. I wasn't taking no for an answer, and I wasn't coming in thinking I should just not compete for a starting job. So I probably strained the relationship a little bit.
But so what did you do?
You didn't have a lot of humility. Very cocky coming in.
I wasn't very cocky, but I believe it's a competition. We should compete.
And Marshall Faulk didn't want to be competing with some young kid coming in.
I wanted to compete. I don't know if it was him. I don't know who it was. But 10 years later, here I am.
I was going to ask you, what did you do over the course of your career that made you realize, hey, I'm going to help out some of these younger backs? And you just said it. If Arthur Blank, Coach Mike Smith, they want you to be a mentor here, you don't have a problem being a mentor to some of the younger players.
No, not at all. I believe every young guy that goes into the NFL draft, we all have a dream. A lot of guys probably don't even get drafted. Had the same dream that I had. And that was to be a professional football player. So anytime I can help someone achieve a goal or a dream, I'm all about that.
One of the lasting images I have, the way that you play, you say, hey, you want to be able to show. It's not just about bruising, but you will. I mean, God bless you. You can run around a guy, but you can also run through a guy. There are certain guys who don't necessarily want to run through guys. You have no problem with that.
No, I mean, after when you become the only weapon for so long, you learn how to survive. You learn how to survive quick. And that's sometimes you have to be the hunter instead of the hunted.
Steven.
what's it like, by the way? You know, the one thing, let's be honest, one of the things we looked at, Michael Turner scored 10 touchdowns last year. I mean, that tells me he's supposed to have a job. If you get into the end zone 10 times in the NFL, you're supposed to have a job. I think he had 4 touchdowns last year. What's it like, though, to watch 8-9 guys load up in a box at the 2-3-4-yard line? How tough is it to get into the end zone in those moments?
Sure, yardage, goal line running situation, it's very hard. He has a very low center of gravity, strong legs, so he scoring 10 touchdowns doesn't surprise me. He's been explosive. He was a good changeup even when he was in San Diego. That's what he does well. So when you face 8 or 9 guys in a box, it's just a mentality. And it's something that I've come accustomed to for quite a long time. So actually now seeing favorable boxes would probably be something that I'm going to take a while for me to get used to.
Steven Jackson with us on Sports Radio 7 out of the Zone, Falcons' newest tailback. Talk about the shape you're in, your body. Why? What is the commitment in the offseason specifically? How careful are you about everything? How much is God's, you know, God-given, good genes and everything else? Talk about the respect for being in the shape that you're always in, because everybody says the same thing. Bro, I saw Steven Jackson. He's a beast. He's ripped. What is it? What is it you are so careful about?
Well, I take my job serious, and I think it's no different than what you guys do or a CEO for a company. You should always equip yourself to be the best, to know, have the knowledge. So in the off season, I go to fitness conventions. I go to different things, and I go learn about how to take care of the body. That's simply what I do. I want to make myself better. I want to make myself well-rounded. It's not only going to help me be a better running back, but it's going to help me live a healthier life when I'm done.
So you today, as opposed to you 8 years ago, how different are you? What have you learned that you're careful about? Or what are the stuff that's absolutely different from you 7, 8 years ago?
My diet, to be honest with you.
How good's your diet? How careful?
I eat very clean now, but I have some cheat nights, like last night at the game. You know what I mean, it was some bratwurst I just couldn't resist. So, right. I'm not that guy that absolutely don't enjoy good times and good people. But my diet is what has changed a lot. Growing up, you know, my parents, love them to death, but we just don't eat the cleanest in my family. I mean, my mom and dad are from Arkansas, so they're country people.
Right.
I love them to death, but I mean, we don't have a veggie platter in the house.
Right.
So
yeah, my wife's from Arkansas. I know what you're saying.
So it's changing a culture. It's changing the way you live, the way you what you grew up doing. And when you do that, your mom is looking at you like, you know, well, you don't want to eat mom's food. I mean, right. Everyone loves mom food. It's not. I love you to death, mom, but have to change.
She's making a big casserole. She's making macaroni and cheese.
Right, right.
Fried chicken.
Yes.
You just say can't do it.
I can't do it.
Man, wow. Upset your mother like that?
That's why you look the way you do.
We got about a minute left. You've played now a long time. The elephant in the room is health. You just said you want to be healthy down the road, so you knew that you had to do these things. Are you nervous at all about shots and everything else that happens to a guy playing your position?
I am nervous. Because when you think about football and you think about the violent nature of the game, and you look at the span of a career is on average 3.8 years, I believe. For guys that have some of the issues that they have and don't play that long, you kind of wonder and worry about, you know, what's going to happen to you down the line. So I'm very proactive about my health, about what I need to do to stay healthy.
Well, it should be very exciting. I think you've got the right weapons around you. I think you're in the right city.
I think you just sold some season tickets, too.
Yeah.
The fans a little fired up.
And I think you're going to be very happy in the city.
Steven Jackson for president.
Yeah.
Steven Jackson, thanks for coming in, and certainly we'll see you once training camp rolls around. Thank you for the time.